following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to hour number two of Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kuhnen, filling in for Fred Penny. We have 1 hour in the books. Last hour, we talked about the Ariana Grande divorce. We talked about the Utah grandmother, the mom of the Utah mom, charged with murder, and how her mom, the grandmother, came up in the course of investigation, but no charges have been filed against her. It's just interesting how that happened. We had a case or no case where Denise prevailed, and in doing so, won this, we'll call it this season, this round of case or no case. She was the first to 50 points total, so the next two cases or no case will start it afresh as far as the points total is concerned. I did neglect, this happens, I will admit my own neglect in the first hour, to give our disclaimer that what you hear on Radio Law Talk, everything that we have here is, we're not giving legal advice, don't use anything that we say as legal advice or legal precedent in a case that you are facing. If you really, the only advice we can really give in that regard is if you are facing an issue for which you would like legal advice, contact a lawyer in your locale and have a protected attorney-client privilege conversation with that individual so that your case can be addressed specific to the issues that arise therein. That said, if you would like to participate in the show, if we talk about something that you have an opinion about, feel free to give us a call. Denise, what's the number?
855-LAW-RADIO. That's 855-529-7234.
Go ahead and give us a call, and if you have an opinion but you don't want to be on the air, just tell Cal, and Cal will give his opinion. And if you, Cal's going to do a case or no case here, if you have what you think the appropriate answer is to Cal's case or no case, after he gives the scenario, feel free to call in and tell Cal what you think, and we'll see. But Cal, with that, why don't you go ahead and get it rolling?
The following is a star-studded Hollywood edition of...
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Mike and Pat were lovers, and as the old song goes, oh, Lordy, how they could love. Pat was a little off mentally, and despite the fact that she was intimately seeing three men at the same time, she decided impulsively to marry Mike. 13 days later, Mike couldn't stand any more of Pat's shenanigans, so he left. Their marriage was brief, tumultuous, and productive. 1 year later, Pat gave birth to a handsome little boy. At that time, she was dating again three men, one of whom was married. Eventually, Pat and John, one of the three men, settled down and they were married. Pat's son, Patrick, needed to know the name of his biological father for medical reasons. Patrick was sure, based on physical characteristics alone, John was not his daddy, but to him, John was his dad. So Patrick went to the geneticist and got DNA tests done, and just to be sure, he got John, he got Pat, he got the two other men, and said, maybe I should ask Mike to get a test too. He asked, and he said, I don't think so. So Patrick contacted a lawyer and said, I want to know who my father is. What if I get sick? What if I have a medical problem? Can I compel Mike to get a DNA test? Is this a case or no case? Now, here's the story. Case or no case, 2 points. Who is Michael? That's worth 5 points. No double, 5 points only. Third, who is Pat? And fourth, who is Patrick? Oh, and maybe another one for who is John. So this is all up before you on case or no case. I hope you got your pencils out and took notes. And Denise, I think you're first on this one, aren't you? Are you? Yeah?
I guess I'm first.
Lucky girl. Lucky woman.
Do we want to know how we procured the DNA of the other willing partners, or are we just going to guess that they...
They willingly submitted.
Okay.
It didn't go to mom.
How old is Patrick?
Patrick is an adult.
What year was this?
I think this all came to head about, I'm guessing, about 6 or 7 years ago, when DNA was really starting to be a thing. So I couldn't tell you exactly, but yeah. But
he wouldn't have to do that if he just tested with like 23andMe or something like that, because then he could get relationships and kind of figure out who the dad is.
And that might have been how he might have sent them a kit and said, I want to know who my dad is. Will you do this? I'm not sure how, honestly. I don't think they were compelled to do so. I think they were voluntary.
So the question is, can Patrick compel Mike to give his DNA?
Correct. The person to whom his mother was married, supposedly at the time of conception.
And, you know, compelling someone to give their DNA is an invasive procedure, even though it only requires nowadays saliva. It's still considered an invasive procedure. I think this is an interesting question, because there's certain points in a child's life that the DNA can be compelled.
Is that right?
Yes. But the question becomes, what about as an adult? And I remember a case where they exhumed a body and got DNA to prove somebody was the father of somebody else. So I'm going to say, I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to say this is a case.
Hold off on the names. We'll get those later. Boy, exhuming, that's a pretty aggressive step.
Yeah.
All right, Todd.
Yeah.
What do you think about
this? Well, this is a case. You want to know who wins?
I do. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Because I could just, like, play that one against Todd later.
Right.
this is a case, and I'm going to say Patrick wins and can compel Mike to produce DNA.
Okay, fair enough. Todd, what do you think about this whole thing? And yeah,
Todd, get your gut your mind out of the gutter.
Look.
Isn't he, though? You can just see
Look. Come on here. This is one where I would really be interested to know. Anybody who's listening, what do you think? What do you think? If you want to know, 855-529-7234, if you want to tell us what you think. Now, Denise said, yeah, in some instances, you can compel the DNA test. Now, one of those, hearkening back way back in my legal career when I interned back in the mid-90s, I interned for a DA's office, and I did a lot of work in their family support unit. And so sometimes things would come in where a person would be on welfare, and if they're on welfare and they have the baby and the baby's on welfare, they have to establish some sort of child support order, so the welfare coffers theoretically can be reimbursed through the child support amount. And that would sometimes lead to compelling a test for paternity to make sure that you had the child support order against the right person if there were multiple individuals. And there were some interesting scenarios that I remember seeing there. So I could see that. But in this case here, John raised Pat, right? So John was held.
John raised Patrick, yeah.
Yeah, John held himself out as the presumptive father.
Right.
And, you know, if you do that, if you hold yourself out as the presumptive father and that's the father, whether the DNA came back positive or not, if you hold yourself out as the presumptive father of the child for a period of time, you're dad, right?
You could be, as long as the child has a bond with you and thinks of you as a father as well.
And so going after anybody else just to find out what their medical history is, and for purposes of, hey, what if I get cancer? Can I have this? Can I have that? Well, you know, look, let's say you needed a kidney. You can't compel the guy that you ultimately find out is your dad through DNA, and it might be a match. You can't compel that person to give me a kidney because I need a kidney. You can't do that. Law doesn't work that way. So I got to think about this. We're coming up on the break. I also want to think about who these folks might be.
And I have a big bonus question, too. A big bonus question. Which
okay.
I couldn't set up in this, but there's a big bonus question.
All right. So when we come back, we'll get to this. And again, if you want to call in during the break, 855-529-7234, let Cal know who you think these folks are. We'll be back.
This is Radio Law Talk.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quack Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call E-Insurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. That's 800-493-6112.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-294-8702. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-294-8702. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-294-8702. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-294-8702. 800-294-8702.
Excuse me, hairnet. Yeah, need a little of the quinoa salad, please. And throw a couple extra cranny bees on top, if you could. And kind of need you to hurry up, chief. Chop, chop. Next.
What? No. I can explain what happened. I just made a joke.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
All right, so I went into the break. The whole idea here is this Hollywood female, was she a celebrity too, or is she just a...
Oh, yeah. Everybody in the story except one person is a celebrity.
Okay.
Everybody.
And who's the one person that wasn't a celebrity? Pat?
The suspected father.
the suspected father was not a celebrity.
Right.
Okay, and so the issue here is she was seeing a bunch of guys, married one guy. It was very short-term marriage, only a couple of weeks, left him, but then she ended up pregnant. And the question is, when the son is born, Pat, who is the father? John held himself out as the father. But as Pat got older, he wanted to know who his real biological father was.
Which is a normal thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. So the question here is, can he force Mike, who was the person that he married, can he force him to submit to a paternity test to see if he was the father? And I will say that this is a case and that Pat loses. They cannot force him to submit to the DNA test.
And Denise, you said, what was your answer on this?
Well, I said it was the case, but Pat wins, and I probably would change my answer now.
Why? Why?
Because I think it's a scenario based on different people and different facts, and it was not a case.
So we both said case. Denise says case, Pat wins. I say case, Pat loses. So can you give us the answer, and then we will try to identify the folks?
Yes. Yeah, I will do that. So case or no case, the answer is, let me see. Here we go. No case. But man, is it a great, it's true. Everything I told you is true.
Except for the case
no
part.
No case, except the case part. Who is Michael? Who do you think?
Okay, who is Michael? I think that the easier thing for me to do would be to say who I think the mother is.
Yeah, that's where I started, too.
Whom do you think the mother is?
Was that your bonus question, who the mother was?
This is on the list, yes.
Okay, so who the mother is.
Yeah.
Oh, good heavens. I'm going to say Madonna.
Okay, whom do you think the mom is, Denise?
In my head, it was Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, another good one.
Yeah.
Whom do you think John would be? Is his real name. Whom is John?
John, the person that held himself out as the presumptive father?
Right.
Guy Ritchie.
Okay, Denise?
If I'm going with Madonna, I got to say it's Guy Ritchie.
You got to run down the path. I got it.
And for me, I was going to say... I don't know the name of the lawyer, but it was the lawyer. You know, she was with her lawyer at the end.
Her lawyer. I like that. Yeah. The lawyer did it. Okay. Who is Patrick? That's the son, the one who wanted the DNA. Who is he?
Well, I would say that it was Madonna's daughter, Lourdes, and that you were just trying to throw us off, who is, you know, if I'm sticking with Madonna, I got to go with that, because it's the only child I know.
Right, and I was thinking it was Danny Lynn.
Oh, good one. And now one big bonus. Listen, I will give you 10, no, I said 5. I'll give you 10 bonus points if you can tell me who the person that Pat told Patrick his father was. It wasn't true, but it's worth 10 points. If you can tell me who it is.
Who the person Pat told.
Told Patrick, told her son, your baby daddy is X. Whom do you think it might have been?
Oh, good heavens.
This is true trivia.
Well, I don't think I'm winning with the Madonna stuff.
I'm not winning with Anna Nicole.
So I'm just going to go out and say, they told her that your dad is Michael Jackson.
Oh, good one. That's good. Okay, here we go.
I'm going to say that they told him that it was the guy from Aerosmith.
Oh, Steven Tyler?
Steven Tyler.
Okay, well, let's do this. well, why not? You know, see if it's
why not? Because you guys are nowhere near. So the question here is, Cal has awarded so many bonus points, and since we get nothing, does he get all the bonus points?
He does, and it gets double.
All right, here we go.
But Cal just won the entire 50-point case or no case in one sitting.
Well, we told you it was no case. So now, Michael is Michael Tell, a guy from whom Patrick's mom had sublet her apartment. Just a subletter. He's now a producer of something in Hollywood. Pat is Pat Patricia Patty Duke.
Oh, John, Patty Duke.
Yes. John is Austin. John Astin of Adams Family fame. Mm-hmm. Patrick is Sean Patrick Duke, Patty Duke's son with, as it turns out, Michael Tell. But Patty Duke told Sean that his daddy was, you're going to like this, Desi Arnaz Jr. You can't make this stuff up.
You have some splaining to do.
Although I wish I would have now based on this. But anyway, so there's the thing. If you guess no case, you get your 2 points plus two. If you got any of the bonuses right, I would be very surprised. It was tough, I admit it.
So but what's your total points?
Well, I don't know.
I think Cal gets four.
Yeah, just give me four. That's fine.
I think he should get six.
Because he's four. He stumped us.
He stumped us,
so he would get the two for stumping us, and it's double points Friday. He gets four.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Double points Friday on Saturday.
Yeah.
No, I stick with it. No,
it was Friday somewhere.
Must have been. And next hour, another celebrity case or no case involving Frederick and Ira. That's next hour on Case or No Case, and that's going to do it for this part of Radio Law Talk's Case or No Case segment. Now we got to get ready to take a break, Todd, so bump us out, would you mind?
All right, Alan, and I want you thinking about something. Way back after the 2001 tragedies, there was this thing called the Patriot Act that started, and a lot of arguments about that, about how it curtailed civil liberties for Americans under the guise of keeping them safe. And we're going to cover a case when we come back about the no-fly list that was established as a result of that, and a case that arose because of somebody that found themselves on that list and what the Supreme Court has to say about a challenge. Don't go away.
Sounds interesting. That's coming up next on Case on Radio Law Talk, not Case or No Case, on Radio Law Talk. Bottom of the hour break, affiliates, when many of you break to do news. We'll be right back after that here on Radio Law Talk. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Cut Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
Man, I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take your car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Well, come on.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call eInsurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. That's 802-341-4537.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
We have a problem.
You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order! They're out of order!
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
So consider this scenario, all right? A United States citizen living in the state of Oregon, not named Denise Dirks, a United States citizen who lives in Oregon, had immigrated to the United States from Sudan, back in 2009... bought a ticket. He was a business owner, bought a ticket to fly over to the Middle East. And when he went to go come back, was informed that while he was abroad, he had been placed on the no-fly list. And that the no-fly list was a list that's compiled, not allowing people to, in the United States, not allowing people to fly commercial airlines or air travel coming in or going out of the United States, and his name ended up on that list. And he was detained, interviewed by FBI agents, sent back to the country where he came from, was interrogated there by officials locally there, was asked by told by the FBI that they would work to get him off the no-fly list if he would agree to be an informant for them, to report on activities going on in mosques. By the way, he's Muslim. And the long and short of it is that he had to ultimately move to Sweden because he couldn't get back into the United States, a U.S. citizen, couldn't get back into the U.S., and had to move to Sweden where he stayed until 2015. So for 6 years, he was not allowed to re-enter the United States because his name was on this no-fly list. While he was in Sweden, he filed a lawsuit. And, you know, claiming, let's just put it this way. His name was put on the no-fly list. Can you think of an argument that he might make about having his name put on this no-fly list that essentially curtailed his ability as a U.S. citizen from returning home or even being able to fly on a plane? What would be a claim that he might be able to make? Denise?
A claim that he can make?
Yes, that he can make.
No probable cause?
No probable cause.
Well, he doesn't know why he's put on there, so it's like... it's like a search and seizure, illegal search and seizure, yeah. Or it could be like a lot of things, actually. It's like almost like servitude, too,
yeah,
because he's being kept from his country.
So we have this thing in the Constitution for U.S. citizens where, look, it's not that the government at some point in time cannot act to curtail rights that you enjoy. But in order for them to do that, you are entitled to this thing called due process.
Hello?
Due process. If somebody's sitting in jail, are their rights curtailed while they're sitting in jail? Yes, they are. Yes, your rights are curtailed while you're sitting in jail. You don't enjoy the same freedoms that people enjoy when you're out walking around. However, there's nothing wrong with that if you had a trial and you were convicted and sentenced to jail because you were afforded due process. Your rights are now curtailed. If you're a felon, you can't vote when you get out for a while until your voting rights are reestablished. Do you have the right to vote normally? Yes. Is that right to vote curtailed? Yes. Is it as a result of a conviction where you had a trial and all that? Yes. So you had due process. So the right was curtailed. Here, with people on the no-fly list, where was the notice that this was going to happen? Where he didn't know about this until he tried to come back to the United States.
Where's the right of him to challenge it?
Where's the right to challenge? Where's the right to says, what he had? Where's the due process?
Where's the Miranda rights? You could go on and on. He doesn't even have notice of what he did.
So that's right. So where is the due process that he is entitled before the curtailment of his rights can occur? It's guaranteed under the Constitution. You're entitled to due process. Where is the due process that he should have been afforded before his name went on that list? And that's what he challenged. That was the basis of his challenge. And what did the government do? Once they had this challenge and they were 2015, he's able to return to the United States. What was the government's remedy?
Stop for just a second.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about how he returned to the United States. That's a very interesting fact.
Go ahead.
He made his way to Sweden, and Sweden, on a private jet, returned him to the United States. That guy's got some pull. Let me tell you. I don't know how he did that, but he's got some pull.
So he's back here, and he files this lawsuit. Because even though he's back, he's still on the no-fly list. Somehow he got back, but he's still on that list. What was the government's remedy to that?
Easy. Take him off the list.
Okay, we took your name off the list. And by doing so, the government then argued that, so we took you off the list, so your lawsuit should go away. It's moot. You're no longer on the list. And that is the issue that made it up to the Supreme Court. What did the Supreme Court say?
They said, that is not going to fly with us.
pun intended.
Yes.
the no-fly list is that argument right there. Why?
Because the government says, we're taking you off the list and now it's moot, that doesn't make the case moot. What makes the case moot is if it can be assured that they will never put him back on the list. And as... I think it was Justice Gorsuch had said, nothing says that if he does similar things in the future that they're not going to put him back on that list, or that if he goes to a particular mosque or he refuses to act as an informant that they're not going to put him on the list. So there's no guarantee for him that he won't go back on that list.
That's right. And that's one of the things that the court looks at is, all right, in this instance, by taking him off that list, you've essentially, it was described to me in law school as it's the you put a Band-Aid on a cut that needs stitches type argument, because it's a situation that not only could reoccur for this individual, but is still happening with thousands of other people who find themselves on that list. This is one of several challenges that the government faced after introducing the Patriot Act. Now, look, I think that it's important for the government to work to keep United States citizens safe from terrorism? Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's a balance there. Could the United States enact laws, hypothetically, that would almost guarantee the safety of everybody to be free from terrorism?
No.
Well,
they can try.
Let's put it this way. I think that they could, but not without the significant curtailment of your rights.
That's why I said no.
Yeah. So they could do it, but not without significantly curtailing all of your rights. Can you guarantee? Yeah, but in doing so, you destroy the very thing that people come to the United States to enjoy, which is the freedoms and the rights they have. And so there's this balancing act, right? The balancing act is how far can the government go to protect your safety without curtailing the rights. And the Patriot Act has had significant challenges. For example, why is it that this was one that was described? Why is it that law enforcement is required to get a warrant and to do things and to search my belongings and all of that, unless I have the audacity to buy a plane ticket? And then, well, you know, we'll just bring the dog out there and take a look at things and search through your bag while you're going through the TSA screen line, open it up, we get to take a look at this. Why is it that my rights to be secure in my things requiring the warrant or the government to get a warrant based upon probable cause now goes out the window because I bought a plane ticket?
I think that this case does not stand for the premise that he's going to get a fair trial. Even if it goes to trial, two other judges said him and his lawyer will not have access to national security information. So he may never even know why he was placed on that list. So I find that to be kind of ironic in a way. We're going to have to see how this plays out. My feeling is it's going to get dismissed. There's going to be a settlement.
Yeah, and the other point is, look, if ultimately a person cannot be told why they are placed on a list, I guess that would raise the question for the government and for the court ultimately, is this a compelling interest that the government has that is sufficient to warrant the curtailment of somebody's due process rights? That's going to have to be decided.
So maybe a categorical disclosure, four or five broad categories or something like that?
I don't know.
As opposed to true secrets?
I don't know. Or the ability to argue to the government why you shouldn't be on that list after they tell you what category you're in.
There you go. Yeah.
We'll cover more with the Supreme Court. We come back after this. Don't go away.
This is Radio Law Talk. The show continues after this.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quack Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
Man, I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash.
All right, guys, we need to have you read some lines for our disclaimer promo. But first, can anybody tell me what a disclaimer is? All right, then. Well, Denise, you go ahead.
Non uti consilius me oriere por questus purpurium juris consult.
Latin, that's a nice touch. Thank you, Denise. Next time we'll try it in English, if that's okay. Fred, how about you?
Cal, I don't want to read all this. Can't we just tell the people that we're discussing general legal issues and they should hire their own attorney instead of relying on what we have to say here?
Well, we could, I guess.
Let's have Todd do it.
Me? Read disclaimers? Why, I couldn't. The information you hear on Radio Law Talk is general.
The preceding promo was for entertainment purposes only. And if you want true legal advice, contact your own lawyer. Just a tip from your friends at Radio Law Talk.
Be sure to read our disclaimers on RadioLawTalk.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. That's 802-341-4537.
It's hard to be sure, sir.
I know the recipe.
Showtime.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
All right, so we talked about the Supreme Court weighing in on the government's curtailment of rights as alleged by the individual with regard to the Patriot Act. Supreme Court also heard arguments on other cases dealing with rights. Now, how many of you have heard, remember back when the pandemic occurred, and there was a big argument about how much people posting on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these different platforms about their opinions over whether the severity of COVID, whether masks work, whether they don't work, and everybody had opinions. And then folks started arguing and complaining that their posts were being curtailed by the platforms, by Facebook and Twitter in particular. And then it came out that there was communication between the executive branch of the government and Facebook and Twitter are essentially urging them to work to curtail some of the what they called misinformation. And this whole incident, this whole issue came up about how much can the government get involved in what Facebook and Twitter do, these social media platforms, and what is the extent of the influence that they can have that essentially curtail free speech rights, as argued? And those arguments today or this last week were made again before the U.S. Supreme Court as a result of rulings out of the state of Louisiana, where a judge in Louisiana had significantly, by way of ruling, curtailed the extent to which the executive branch, in particular the CDC, FBI, and in the White House, the communications they could have with social media platforms relating to the content that they were allowing the users of the platform to upload, posts to be made. And the Supreme Court seemed to have, by way of their questioning, but there's no ruling been on it, but they seemed to have been leaning a certain direction when it came to whether or not the actions of the executive branch were appropriate or whether they could be curtailed as ruled by the judge. Which way were they leaning, Denise?
They were leaning that there should not be restrictions on the executive branch communications and putting pressure on these different social media accounts. That before social media, the press, let's do it, put it this way. The press has free rights too, right?
Yes,
they
yes,
are freedom
yes.
of the press. And the press in a lot of ways has kept our government honest because they investigate, they ask the questions and all of that. Social media is not necessarily the same as the press, but it has a similar kind of context in a way. People out there expressing their First Amendment rights, challenging conspiracy theories, challenging what the government says. I mean, it is an arena for free speech. However, from time in, you know, from the beginning of our government, our executive has always kind of challenged the press and said, hey, don't say this because that's not in line with our thinking, or don't say this because it's disinformation. You got to know the truth. And there's always been discussion and kind of tension between the executive branch and free press. There just always is. Now we're seeing it in social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, what Biden was trying to do is get the social media companies themselves to monitor what he called misinformation on these different sites and to try to get them to control misinformation that caused or could cause public crisis.
Yeah. Cal, you had a...
Well, I was just going to say FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, decided to bypass the press. But the battle that Denise talks about has been pitched since World War II. He said, I'm going to bypass the press and have a fireside chat with people. Donald Trump said, I'm going to bypass the press. I'm going to go to Twitter. Joe Biden has that option. He doesn't have to tell Twitter what not to air and what not to put on. So, I mean, every time this comes up, because I'm a former TV news guy, and I am virulent about the rights of the press.
Me
and
too.
That is this. Congress shall make no law restricting the freedom of speech. End of story. You can't restrict it.
Yeah,
if you don't like it, you can say, we think this is wrong. That's your freedom of speech. The White House has freedom of speech. The press has freedom of speech.
Right, but can the White House restrict the freedom of speech? That's the one question that's before the court. And even more importantly, in my mind, can the court make a decision to restrict the executive branch? This is a big struggle between the three different branches of government. And that's why Justice Roberts said, hey, I don't have experience in this. I've never tried to coerce somebody into not saying something or whatever.
I think that was an attempt at levity on his part.
It was an attempt at levity. It was a great one. And he says, however, if one branch of government is doing something coercive, those people that are being coerced can always reach out to the other branch of government. And he kind of pointed out the whole thought behind this.
Okay, so it's a couple of differences I see. I understand the reference to the freedom of the press, but let's look at a few differences here. For example, the press, you know, if there's a story that comes out in the New York Times, that's the New York Times making that statement. Twitter and Facebook have consistently argued, we are not editors. That we're just a platform that allows people to talk. We're no different, essentially, than any phone company that just provides a platform by which communications can be made. And we have a certain exemption, antitrust exemption, that we enjoy as long as we are not editors of content. We don't edit this content. We just provide the platform for others to say it. And the argument here has been, yeah, but when you pick up the phone and contact, when the executive branch picks up the phone and contacts Facebook and or sends what has been described, I don't think there's any argument that this was otherwise, pestering emails with expletives and all this saying you need to do this and the executive branch and the White House is involved. You know, sure, there might be an inherent threat there.
That's a lot of power, Vincent.
That is. But here's something that I liked with the court. One thing that I like about at least two justices that sit on the court, Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Kagan. And both of them pointed this out because obviously they're on opposite ends of the political spectrum, people would say, but both of them share experiences having worked in the executive branch. And both of them said, folks, look, the White House calling up a reporter to chew them out because of a story that they wrote or talking to, that happens all the time in all branches of government and always has and always will. They didn't really see a problem with that.
All of that's okay until they preempt the publishing of the actual thought, Todd. All that's okay. They can yell all they want, but they should not be able to have editorial control of the story and say, you may not air this because we think it's wrong.
And that's the problem. They can call and say, we would appreciate it if you didn't air it.
You
because
bet.
That's not, but
you
they bet. Cannot prevent it from being aired if the folks... If the news agency decides, okay, we're going to air it. And I think the argument being made right now is there was no inherent threat made to Facebook or Twitter that if you don't do what we want, we will shut you down.
We'll file an antitrust suit against you.
Yes, we will do
that. For example.
So that is vague. To say that the government cannot call Facebook and Twitter and express their displeasure with what they're allowing on the platform without the coercive nature is different. Now, when we come back, we're going to do case or no case, but then we're going to talk about a case that was argued in the same week before the Supreme Court with the NRA. Take a look at the similarities and the differences there. Don't go away. We'll be back.
You will not want to miss hour number 3 of Radio Law Talk. It starts at 6 minutes after. If it's not on your local radio station, just go to RadioLawTalk.com. And if you're listening outside our live hours, 9 to noon Pacific, we post all of these shows online so you can listen on demand like a podcast. And by the way, all at no charge to you and all at RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be back at 6 after.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.